Everybody awake now? Cool. Yeah. Sweet. Gotta love it, eh? Technology. So I brought technology with me this morning and I hope that works for me. If not, I've got the old fashioned paper. Let me just try and get myself sorted here a bit more comfortably. Last week, Craig brought an awesome message to us on what the Father looks like. And spoke to us about how he deeply loves his children. And that was really cool because it sort of led into what I was sort of thinking this week and how this statement that we refer to quite regularly is connected to that and how that looks. And I'm the father of three boys, which you all probably know, but 9.5 years ago, yeah, so those are my three boys, right? Big one, middle one, and the little one. It's like the three bears. 9.5 years ago, hold on, this thing, yeah, this guy arrived. He arrived late in the evening after cooking for a little bit extra time and with mum, but that was cool. And I guess for me, it wasn't until he came that it really, really meant anything, right? And probably dads, you can sort of resonate with this feeling, right? He was in mum's tum, and I did all those things, like talk to him and told him all the things we're going to do as he grows up and he gets older. But it wasn't until that moment that he was in my hands and I was holding this little dude, and I looked at this little dude, and wow, I've got this amazing love for those three boys that I can't explain. It just happens instantly. And for me, that was just a moment that just blew my mind. It was a revelation. If that's the love that I've got for that thing there in my hands that a minute ago was just not there, you know, to now have that, I'm going, whoa, God loves me even more than that. God loves me so much more. And for me, that was just mind-blowing. So that was really cool. That to me was just, you know, an amazing moment. So when I look at this verse, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, I see how important that statement became at that moment. I see how important that statement is for us in our lives. And so I want to look at that statement today. I want to unpack that statement and look at the context around it and what Joshua is really telling the Israelites, yeah, and how that plays for us. So I just want to stop there for a second, though, because I really, I grew up in a Christian home, got awesome parents, mum, dad, amazing. And so I got this, I guess, lens that I look at the scripture from. And so I just want to acknowledge that, hey, you know, like my lens is pretty cool, but God's there for all of us, and it doesn't matter what that looked like in the past. You know, the aim of the scripture is for us to connect with God and for us to show God how we love him. So I just want to, you know, just think about that as we look at it. So let's just pray. Let's get my head sorted, and then we can dig into that scripture. So, Father, as we open your word this morning, Lord, I ask that what you've laid on my heart, I'm able to direct and give word to nice and easily, Father. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come and open our ears, open our hearts to hear from you, so that we might see you glorified through this today. Amen. All right, so let's turn to Joshua 24. So some context, really trying to find that, right? Joshua's older in age. He's giving one of his final addresses to Israel just before he departs, right? So he's gathered the tribes together to meet, and he's reminded them about all the things he's done, right from when he started back with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, took them to Israel, into Egypt, right? Takes them through the desert, puts them in the promised land. So he's just reminded them that he's done all of this. It's not them that's done it. It's them. So we all found the verses? Cool. All right. So starting at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to do, serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 18. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord who God has brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went. And among all the people through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we will also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. For you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. When Joshua said to the people, your witnesses against yourselves that you will have chosen the Lord to serve him, and they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away your foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord is our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, put in place statutes to rule and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took the large stone and set it up there, under there in the Tebenith, I assume that's how it's said, that was the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against you, for it has heard all the words of the Lord has spoken to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. It's quite a bit that's going on there, and it's quite a challenging scripture to read when he starts to talk about some of the things that are going on there for the people. But Joshua's right on the money, because later on we read in Judges and Kings and Samuel how the Israelites, they don't follow the God of Israel. They turn and they get swayed, you know, right from David, right through the kings. It's just prevalent. It's crazy. I've just spent the last sort of 6 months, started in in Genesis, sort of late November, January, reading through, and I've just been I've got to the end of Samuel and just been blown away again by how much we the Israelites just couldn't get it together. And it's no different for us, right? In my own life, there's times where I've been true and I've served God, and I've done it with my whole heart. But there's often times where it's been just not there at all, or been just a secondary thing that I've sort of thought is right. It's scary for us to submit to God. It's a scary thing to give up and trust in him. It's really difficult, right? It's easier for us to just put our faith in ourselves and go about our routine of life. I think it becomes easier as you get older, because to just sort of let it fade and not be passionate about it. As we get married and we sort of obtain jobs and raise a family, it's easy to put God on the shelf most of the time, you know, and sort of get on with the day-to-day during the week. I know, you know, I'm at times I'm there, right, you know. Just get busy in the week and chaos happens and it's just not there. But the challenge is there's no reason for it to fade. There's no reason for us to lose our passion, zeal, and sweep it under the rug, you know. It's something that should be growing. Our passion for the Lord should be growing on and on. It shouldn't be something that we let die. Joshua, when he addressed the Israelites, he was, as I said earlier, you know, he's later on in life. He's been the spy that went into the promised land, checked it out, had a look, came back. You know, he's done all of that amazing stuff. So he's led the people through that process of conquering the land that they were given. And this is something that he's doing later on in life. So, you know, he's advanced in years and he's addressing Israel and saying, never lose your passion. Never lose your zeal for the Lord. If you feel like you've lost it or you've never had it, then we need to sit down and we need to be honest and we need to pray. And we need to ask God to give us that, to impassion our hearts with the desire to know him. And he's doing that to Israel. You know, he's saying, hey guys, you know, we've done all these wonderful things. We've gone off on these crusades and we've got our land and God's given us all this amazing stuff. But you know, we need to serve him onwards. It's easy now for us as a people to sit back and enjoy the fruits that we've got and all of the things that we've got and we've been given. And I guess I relate that to where I was talking about. We were saying, how does that connect with us now, right? It's easy for us as we go through our teenage years and we get our jobs, we get our marriage, we get all those things lined up and we sort of sort it out. And then we go, cool, let's just chill in our lounger. You know, the lazy boy's comfortable. We don't have to do anything, yeah? I love my lazy boy. That's my boys. But it's not the end. The end's not there. So as I think about that, I just go, whew, we need to keep moving. Thanks, guys. So Joshua in verse 14 saying, therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. So he's choosing Israel to make an obvious choice, right? They can't do both, and we can't do both. So, you know, you've got to drop that aside and focus on what is true, the Lord that we serve. But he knows the people. Joshua knows the people, and he knows that they're not. Not going to make the obvious choice in the long term. They sit there and they make it now, but they're not going to make it in the long term. So he says in verse 15, he says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty challenging statement. You know, choose me or choose that. There's no in between. So to us, it's obvious, right? We're going to serve the Lord. And we think, you know, Israel, don't be idiots. Serve the Lord, you know? And as we read scripture later, we're like, David, what did you do that for? Solomon, what are you thinking? You know, because we're sitting there with our perfect lens on going, yeah. But when we think about it, we're not much better ourselves. You know, I can sit there and reflect on it, and I have for the last, since I decided to take the scripture and try and chew on it. And go, well, you know, there's so many times in my life where I've just gone, nah, I'm just not going to do that today. So there's intention in what he's saying there. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It's not a quaint, cute little statement that we put up on our wall. It's not something that we just say, yep, we're going to serve the Lord. We've got to understand the gravity. We've got to understand the importance of this scripture and understand what the statement means. Because if we don't, it's just not right. If we think of serving an all-powerful, good and loving God who leads his nation, you know, we think about his leading the nation out of Israel, right? Of Israel, out of Egypt, sorry. It's unthinkable, it's unimaginable. You know, that when you look in Deuteronomy and you look at the amount of people that he took out of Egypt, you know, we think of the small group, but it was hundreds of thousands. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of people that he just goes, right, you're leaving Egypt today. Pharaoh's had enough. I've sorted him out. We're going down the road. You know, this just blows your mind when you think about how much effort to move. I mean, if you say, right, CBC, we're moving to Wellington. Grab your gear. We're getting in the boat and we're going down there. You know, we're going to drive to Wellington. But we don't have cars. We've got to walk there. You know, it's just, I just, like, the logistics of managing that many people. So, you know, like, for Moses and those guys, you know, it's you can see how God just had to do that. Moses couldn't do it on his own. Moses admits he can't do it on his own. Joshua couldn't lead the Israelites into the promised land on his own. He had to have God with him, right? So that makes the decision. So we're going to make that decision. We've got to choose to stand by it, and we've got to choose to live by it. Am I making sense? Yeah? Is it resonating that this is important, that we can't just use this as an Instagram verse? Yeah, bring it into the century. Yeah. It's got so much weight. A quote that I found that I was just sort of chewing on is, everybody's watched Braveheart, right? Yeah. We've all watched Mel Gibson yell at the end of the battle scene, you can never take our freedom. Yeah. So when I think of that, I think of the I looked at it, you know, what does it say before that? And it goes, fight and you may die, run and you will live, at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, you will be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell your enemies that they may take our lives, they'll never take our freedom. We've got to count the cost of what Joshua's saying in serving the Lord. Yeah? They can take stuff, but they're never going to take that freedom that Christ gives us. See, Joshua is holding the people to task. He's really challenging them on that statement. He's digging deep and really sort of going, you know, you've got to sort this out. You can't just do it either which way. You know, as we get down into the end of that scripture, and I'm going off. Oh, no, I'm not. Verse 19. You know not. But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God and He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins." Whew. For the sake of the Lord, if you forsake the Lord and you serve foreign gods, then He will turn and He will do you harm and consume you after doing all that good for you. And we see that, right? We see that all the way through it. So, you know, there's real power in that. Following God's not a joke. He's a holy God. And He's completely set apart. He's jealous, and He wants our complete devotion. And I guess, why does He want our complete devotion? Why is it so important? We were created for Him to show His glory. And it is in the original that sort of, you know, back in the garden, that we were created for His full devotion. You know, you see that with the original set of Adam and Eve. So it's time for the Israelites to put their money where their mouth is. So it continues in 23, put away your foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they really had to decide, were they going to follow the Lord as Joshua said, or were they going to go and chew on these poles and all these other things that they'd sort of found along the way. And they said, yeah, we're going to do it. And it's easy for us to say, yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah, no problems. We're here. We're on Sunday morning. We're going to do it. We're going to go down Frankton. We're going to stand on the street and we're going to tell everybody about how much we love God. We're going to go into our workplace on Monday morning and we're going to sit at the smoker room. And when they go to us, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, well, I went to rugby with my kids on Saturday and hockey and it was a good weekend. Yeah, hung out with some friends. And I'm guilty of that, right? I do it quite regularly without thinking. Or are we going to go into that table in the morning and go, oh, yeah, went to church on Sunday morning? You know, is that going to be part of our conversation during the week? Are we going to put it out there? It's something that I've been journeying independently on my own for a while now is that I'm going off on a tangent, sorry, everybody, but a few years ago I read a book called A Radical Abandonment by David Platt. And he calls us to, challenges us to wear our faith on our sleeve. And he calls us to radically change the way we think and the way we do life. And that it's not about here on Sunday morning, but it's about out there in the world, and it's in our homes, and it starts in our homes. And so that's where I guess I've come to this point where me and my house will serve the Lord, because he said to us, you know, he's called us to that. He's called us to do two or three simple things. Now, I'm not going to go right into it, but, you know, like there's three statements that he makes to us, or two statements, you know, love the lost and make disciples. Those are the two things. How does that play out in our day-to-day lives? It's simple. It's how we do it in our home. It's how we do it and we're serving the Lord, yeah? So, you know, having people into our homes is so important. And connecting with people in our workplace and sharing and just being true and honest. We don't have to sit there and beat the Bible at them. That's not going to work. But we just need to be true. We need to love and we need to show them. So I guess, yeah, sorry, side note. Don't know where that came from, but hey, we're there. So where I've come to, I guess, in the scripture. So when I look at this passage today, I think about the leadership of a dad. I think this about the leadership of a family, a Christian family, if we're going to be what Christ says we've got to be. And we've got to be the light. We've got to be the difference in the opposition. There are things that are critical to the Father. And those are those that we would be the salt and light of the earth. Yeah? So that scripture was written to Israel, but how does it really sort of tie into New Testament, yeah? I guess in some way. I think that's where I'm going with this. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah? It's simple. And you see that Israel did it time and time and time again. They fall short. We fall short. Every day we get up, we make decisions that rightly or wrongly don't sort of align to where we should be. And then he says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So Israel didn't have that, yeah? They were living in the old covenant. So their process of doing that was through offerings, sacrifices, and Leviticus. Craig will take us there one day and teach us on that, because that's really good for sleeping in. It's long and it's just detailed, but you know, they had a lot of work they had to do. I mean, let's just think about that for a second, right? I want to make a sacrifice to God. I've got to go to Jerusalem or to an altar. I've got to take a lamb. I've got to kill it. I've got to prep it, you know, to get that sacrifice. So Christ does that for us, right? And he was the perfect sacrifice. I'm so thankful for that, because you know, that old time's just, yeah, it would be full on, right? You couldn't do it. Craig spoke about it a while ago. I just remember him saying, you know, you go and do that sacrifice and then you walk out the door, out of the temple and off you go. Damn, you've got to go back again. And I was like, yeah, that's so true to what we do, right? So Joshua challenged the Israelites, and I guess my challenge this 4 weeks has been the same. Who will I serve and what will that look like? Will I choose the Lord or will I choose the idols? And I guess, what do the idols look like for us today? Well, money, stability, a good job, our spouse, our reputation, our kids. You know, what's more important? And how does that look? The material possessions that we put our faith and trust in, or the faith and the security that Christ gives us through his ultimate sacrifice for us. Yeah. Really, what it boils down to is who we will serve and what we will give up and what's the cost going to look like for us. It's going to be different for each one of us. It's not going to be the same. God's going to put stuff in our hearts. He's going to challenge us. He's probably challenging, well, he's challenging me now. And he's probably challenging you about things that you need to work on, that we need to work on as dads, as mums, as just people, right? There's always something that's not quite right here. So I really hope, and I'm going to finish up with that, I really hope that through this short message that you get the fact that it's through love that we serve the Father. And it's an amazing relationship and an amazing connection that we have if we apply what Joshua says and we apply the grace that we live in now under Christ. And we put it all together and we go out there and we charge and we serve. And we serve with our whole heart and we put every 110% into everything we do. So let's just pray and we can carry on. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you sent Jesus down here so that we didn't have to go through the challenges that the Israelites had to go through. That we were able to be grafted in, as Lawrence said earlier, into that amazing connection, Lord. And that as we go out, you would just challenge us, Lord. Challenge us that what's going to be different about this week from last week and how we serve you and what that looks like. Challenge us to serve you with everything, not just some things. Challenge us to serve you in every way that we see. Open our eyes to those opportunities. I thank you for that that challenge you're going to give us. In Jesus' name we pray.